You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
A couple of football things before we get to more Chris Russo sound, because we always used to be Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. If Stephen A. Smith was going nuclear on First Take, we would stop the show. And I think now that we are clearly a more diluted product that doesn't have ESPN's characters in our cartoon kingdom, do we have to make a new rule that if we have Chris Russo sound, we have to stop everything that we're doing and play the Chris Russo sound? Because I want to give you some good Bill stats. I want to give you some good Kyler Murray stats. But I think Chris Russo, in this new incarnation of our show over the last year, post-pandemic, does Chris Russo qualify as someone who we need to stop programming to go to his sound?
He's earned it. The Mad Dog.
A promotion, Mike Ryan, you're willing? A promotion for Mad Dog.
You know Mad Dog's a radio guy, and occasionally radio guys get asked to read liners. So here is Chris Mad Dog Russo being asked to read a liner.
I love it.
You know, I made a decision. They've been begging me to promote it. I said, here's what I'll do. When Tom sends me a text saying, Chris, it's great to be on the channel, great to be part of it, as everybody else does, including McAfee, everybody has done in the last 13 years, when Tom sends me one, and he can send it through Jim, so I don't have to know his number.
Tom is
great. So he doesn't have to worry about me responding. When I get that, then I'll promote that show like you wouldn't believe.
So he wants to be heard. He wants Tom Brady to reach out to him.
That is Mad Dog's channel. It has been for many, many years. He is giving an hour of his channel to Tom Brady and Jim Gray and occasionally Larry Fitzgerald, and he wants someone to thank him, and he wants it to be Tom. I mean,
yeah, there were no other takers for that show, apparently. So thank you.
Tom Brady is begging him for promotion. Tom Brady is begging for promotion.
Can you play for me why it is that Brady might not want to go on Mad Dog station or show or genuflect at the knee of Mad Dog? Hell of a career for Mad Dog, Stugatz, from sports radio to behind a paywall, own channel, still doing it.
But let me be clear. The show is on Mad Dog Radio. I know the sound you're about to play, but the show is airing on Chris's station. It's his. And he just wants Tom to acknowledge, hey, thanks for making me a part of the station. I mean,
I don't know that there would be a great clamoring for that show. Would there be? Because Tom Brady can sell anything. I saw an interview with him the other day. Like, he's going to go into fashion lines. You don't think Tom Brady, whenever he does retire, if he ever does retire, he's going to go into business with this same kind of zeal. He's going to sell his name. You don't think that Tom Brady, somebody would buy whatever product he's selling just because it's Tom Brady?
I do think people, and by the way, it's sponsored by Ring Video Doorbell. Like, Brady does the commercials for him. They're stiff, but he does the commercials for him. I think there's a huge market for anything Brady does because people would spend a lot of money on Tom Brady.
Is Brady not going to go on Mad Dog's channel because of this?
Shut the hell up! Shut up! Keep your mouth shut! Your son got nailed! Keep your freaking mouth shut! Framegate my... Keep your... Shut up! Stay low! Shut the hell up, Framegate. You mean, are you kidding me? Come on, a guy cheated, folks. Let's be honest. I got to listen to Tom Brady's old man now, who, you know, has lived in the bubble, you know, and has lived under the scenario where his kid's been a phenomenal player all this time, and now he's trying to make now he's trying to disparage the guy who spent 246 pages writing about it. Shut up. Put that guy on. See if he's got the guts to talk to somebody who's going to ask him a tough question. Go ahead. Better yet, put his son on. Let's see what he has to say. Put your son on. Don't hide USA Today. Come on. Come on, talk shows. Hey, come on now. Come on right now. Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
And now he just wants him to say thank you.
It's honestly art. Honestly, it is. If let's look at the career of Mad Dog and let's look at the career of Tom Brady and let's look at how Mad Dog looks at himself and how Tom Brady looks at himself. Mad Dog wants to be thanked for helping create Tom Brady through sports radio, the existence of Tom Brady, and he wants thank me. That's a monster ego. I love that he's that kind of cartoon character, but why wouldn't he think that when he comes from sports radio pioneering and then reinvented an own channel? He's got an own channel where Tom Brady's show has to exist.
They've made a 30 for 30 about one radio show, I believe, and it was Mike and the Mad Dog. And then he has his own channel. So why wouldn't he have the ego to think that Brady should say thank you?
I wish they'd never broken up. I honestly wish that they had never broken up. Because,
and they were still doing the show now?
Oh, my God. It would be so wonderful to have young people attacking that show. People would still be listening to that show.
Yes.
There's no disputing that, correct? Even in the age as radio changes and falls apart, if Mike and the Mad Dog, the original sports radio pioneers, were still doing a show together, it would exist and be popular, at least in part, because young people could just make fun of it.
No doubt. But I will also tell you this. There is an older demographic that would take it seriously. If those guys reunited in New York, Dan, and did a local radio show, it'd be the highest rated show in that market by far. I'm telling you.
And it would be a great source for young people making fun of it at every turn. But let's get to these football stats, Dugatz, because you've got Kyler Murray is now 13 for 18 on throws more than 20 yards down the field. He wasn't that kind of accurate before. It's a small sample, but he's throwing the ball well deep down the field. And the Bills have won 11 of their last 13 with a point differential of 212. The Bills have been a bit overwhelming and can, with this quarterback that I once called terrible, they can take advantage of the same AFC East that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick took advantage of for a long time, because there's a great deal of incompetence in this division.
They're going to. It seems like they're going to. We'll see how Zach Wilson turns out with the New York Jets, but I'm excited for the Bills and the Chiefs this weekend. Like, that's going to be... that's a rematch of the AFC Championship game. Josh Allen has to get past Patrick Mahomes at some point, so I'm super excited.
At some point? It just started. The whole thing just started.
Does he? Does he have to get past him at some point?
I don't know.
But
actually,
wait,
what do you mean
at some point? They just started
You have to figure that if Josh Allen's going to win some Super Bowls here, eventually he's going to have to go through Patrick Mahomes to get him.
Yeah, if he's going to win some Super Bowls here,
you.
I agree.
Thank you, Stugatz.
I have a great Patrick Mahomes
stat. What are you doing?
I was talking to some pigskin.
I know, but at some point, you're going to already...
I was just saying I'm excited for the game. Can I be excited for a game?
Josh Allen just went from me calling him terrible to MVP of the league good.
Mm-hmm.
He just got here.
Right.
He fixed his recklessness problems and his accuracy problems. It is a joy to watch him have people physically bounce off of him, and then he rolls to his right, creates a 7-second pocket, and throws the ball a laser beam. Stronger arm than anyone in the league. 40 yards with accuracy right into the corner of the end zone to Diggs. Didn't think it was possible. He is John Elway with a lot more muscles and a lot bigger, and it's crazy to see. I don't know if he can be that kind of accurate, but the Bills look to be formidable for a while. You just got to the conversation, and your first entry point on talking sports is to already demand that he beat Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback any of us have ever seen. They just started.
I know, but he lost. And, I expect more out of Josh Allen. I do. And I expect it this year. Like, Dan, I want to see how that defense plays on the road against that offense and that offense at home. I am interested to see how that defense holds up.
It's an interesting game. Yes. I'm not disputing that. Right. I'm just saying the pressure of putting Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. everyone's going to lose to Patrick.
Applying the pressure early.
Everyone's going to lose a lot to Patrick Mahomes the next few years if he stays healthy.
Good old-fashioned sports debate broke out here once you compared Josh Allen to John Elway. Number one, how dare you? Number two, he's Cam Newton.
I mean, Justin Herbert has no issues beating Patrick Mahomes. I mean, just did it. You know, Derek Carr.
Yeah, but
same
at what
thing.
Point are you going to say do it in the playoffs, Justin Herbert?
When he loses to him in the playoffs, yeah.
You think Josh Allen is what? He was an MVP candidate last year, and again, they're winning 212-point point differential in their last 13 games. He seems to have cured his recklessness. He's part of the position that's changing throughout the sport.
How many passing yards did Davis Mills have in that game? Three?
So you're
Davis Mills. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Davis Mills.
Next fold.
Sorry, yes. I didn't remember your name. Clearly, you're going to resonate for quite some time here.
Yeah, Tony brings up a good point back here, which is the 40-0 game against the Texans kind of skews things. They played the Steelers, which they lost, the Dolphins, Washington football team, and the Texans. It's not necessarily like the gauntlet.
People are asking, I'm serious, Dan, to your point, because you had concerns about Josh Allen. They're saying, which Josh Allen are the Bills going to get this weekend? The good Josh Allen, the bad Josh Allen?
But guys, I mean, I just told you, you've got Arizona as the last undefeated after four games. Everyone in this league is equal. Everyone's been playing the Texans. We're laughing at Urban Meyer because he lost to them. Everybody's been playing the Texans. I'm giving you a 13-game sample. If I started this season with the Bills winning 11 of their 13 games with a point differential of 212, you would be telling me that's the Super Bowl favorite. You wouldn't be parsing, oh, they played Houston that one time. I'm telling you, they're slaughtering people. For 13 games, they're slaughtering people. And Josh Allen, I said he was terrible. Me, who's always laughing at quarterback evaluation, I saw so many throws where he'd roll to his left and a guy's wide open in the end zone and he'd throw it into the first row, Stugatz. We'd laugh at highly questionable at the most inaccurate quarterback that I've ever seen play football because he had so much talent, but it wasn't harnessed. I don't know if this is for real or not, but over 13 games, he's not turning the ball over. And since I said he was terrible, I've never seen a quarterback go from inaccurate to more accurate that quickly and with that gap of talent.
But for this year, it's kind of gone the other way at times. He hasn't been as consistent. I think that's all we're saying. The last two games, Dan, his completion, or two of the four games he's played, completion percentage has been in the 50s. One of those games, low 50s.
Ross Tucker says this is the greatest athlete to ever play the position. That's why Mike Ryan is bringing up Cam Newton. So you tell me, Mike, what is Josh Allen?
I think he's Cam Newton, who I would throw in as best athlete to ever play the position. Michael Vick, too. But Cam Newton had a power dynamic that Cam Newton didn't necessarily have. I think, remember, Cam Newton was amazing. Cam Newton was an MVP. So I don't think it's an insult to Josh Allen to just stop the comparisons at Cam Newton. We don't have to go to John Elway just yet. John Elway was, come on, man. There's John Elway.
Greatest Relax. Ever, maybe. Yeah.
Not even Cam Newton was John Elway. Mm-hmm.
If you agree or think that the sample we've gotten so far is replicable, if you believe things that I haven't believed before, which is you cannot coach the reckless out of someone, and you can't coach huge accuracy into someone when they're a terrible college passer. If you believe those two things are correctable, then you have to grant me that Josh Allen is going to be one of the greats. Do you not? If we're making him one of the great athletes ever, and you're telling me that he can keep growing through his prime and eliminate recklessness judgment and eliminate inaccuracy, what's real is what I'm asking you, Stugatz.
The problem for Josh Allen is he's playing at the same time. It's kind of like Michael Jordan when he was playing, Dan. And that's what Patrick Mahomes is, right? Where Michael Jordan, you had all these other great players in the NBA that never won titles simply because Jordan was hogging all the titles. So Barkley didn't win them, and Sean Kemp and Gary Payton didn't win them, and Karl Malone and John Stockton didn't win them. And you have this quarterback and this team out in Kansas City, and it seems like they're going to make it to the Super Bowl every single year, and that Patrick Mahomes, as good as Josh Allen has been, and as good as I think he's going to continue to be, I'm just not certain he's ever going to be Patrick Mahomes and going to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes, you know? And so That would be the only thing I would say that could possibly hold him back from being one of the all-time greats.
You just said a couple of weeks ago that something wasn't right about the Chiefs. And you said before that that they shouldn't put Patrick Mahomes in the game.
I'm all over the place, yeah.
Shouldn't put Patrick Mahomes in the game to replace Alex Smith.
That was then. This is now.
But we're all conceding that Buffalo's a good team. And obviously, Kansas City at Arrowhead this year struggled against the Browns, lost to the Chargers. This is a nice test for them on Sunday night, so I'm excited about that. Some good quarterback matchups in the league. If Trey Lance gets a go, that should be a very exciting game. Very bummed that Gus Johnson is not calling a game this weekend because he should be all over Cardinals Niners if Trey Lance is a go.
But this is kind of what we were trying to tell you yesterday. Josh Allen could have a very nice career and never win a Super Bowl. Because you have Joe Burrow now in the AFC.
Yeah, I'm playing again. Aaron Rodgers this week. Good quarterback matchups.
I mean, you have Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Did you see the news on Baker Mayfield that broke today?
See?
Officially a torn labrum.
Right. And then you have the guy that
looks... I feel like that matters.
Let's stop for a second. Hold on. Let's stop for just a second on Baker Mayfield. Because we've been doing these rigorous analysis week to week on Baker Mayfield. And that does matter. I think for all the talk of Odell Beckham and all the issues with their offense and whether he's a second-tier quarterback or a top-tier quarterback, the fact that he always seems to be hurt...
So it's not a height thing?
Probably affects some of his play.
I think the discomfort, I think it's what we were talking about with Jake Burns. Again, I think I was right when I said that he's
You always do,
yeah,
Mike.
Yeah,
we know. We know.
And clearly,
it's
I was
redundant.
Right.
It's redundant for you to say, yeah. I think I was right.
It pains
right.
me to just let the nation know one person was telling you that Baker Mayfield was hurt, and it was me. Mm-hmm. Mike Ryan exclusive.
Okay, there it is. Yes.
But we brought a guest on. But, he said he was too small.
He agreed with me. When he didn't touch on it, I was like, I brought it back. But don't you think he's feeling pressure a little bit early because of that that shoulder injury, which is now a torn labrum, which will require surgery at some point, probably after the season. Causes discomfort. If you ever talk to anybody with a torn labrum, I haven't, but I read tweets of people that say they have, and they say they can't even lift their arm.
It sounds
so
awful.
I mean,
you seem happy that he's hurt.
Is it not?
I'm happy that I have an explanation.
He's happy that he's
thrilled.
Right. He's happy
thrilled.
That he's
wait,
right.
Wait a second. Thrilled. I've known Baker Mayfield was hurt. I'm happy you guys get to know that Baker Mayfield's hurt. Now, my problem, you don't trust me and you trust Ian Rappaport.
Does it kind of make you feel relieved because your expectations now can be dampened so that when your feelings are hurt later in the season, you have kind of lessened that already?
No, because he's got to overcome. Other quarterbacks have overcome this injury. He's got to rise above, and he'll have plenty of time. There'll be a bye in November. He has time to get healthy. He needs to be better.
Mike, can you just... this? Step back for a second, okay? I have said before that if any of us go running down this hallway and just fall on the floor, we won't get out of bed till Wednesday. It'll be bad. It won't feel good. You just said he's got to just get over a torn labrum.
Yeah.
He's a young kid.
I know, but just torn labrum sounds awful to me. If I hear torn labrum, Stugatz, it's one of the most awful sounding issues, injuries. I don't know exactly where my labrum is, what it is, but I don't want it torn. I think something being torn and playing with it, that's probably a bad thing. Now, to be chased by 270-pound men.
While you're torquing your body.
While you're trying to throw, and I got to find Odell Beckham, but I can't see him because I'm blind and I'm small.
That was your only takeaway, and not that I was right. I'm very disappointed in you.
He's too small.
Torn labrum.
I think he's got discomfort and it's causing some accuracy issues.
Okay, but isn't that a pretty good explanation?
He also had cracked ribs last year and it didn't matter to the national media. They were still dragging him. And guess what? He had to hang tough. He had to power through.
I just read that it's only partially torn. So, I mean...
Oh, this changes things.
Mm. Is it even really...
Jessica, good point. Yep. This changes everything. It changes everything.
A tear
everything.
Is a tear.
No, a partial tear is not a tear.
A partial tear is a partial tear. It's not a total tear.
It's not a full tear.
It's partial.
This is a partial tear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's partial.
This is a tear.
Yes.
Right.
It's partial.
A pear.
A tear.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Listen, it could be Julius Randle's building. How about that?
The Mecca.
Or it's Julius. The Mecca.
Stugatz.
Steve Martin was a prop comic.
You said that?
I said it 2 seconds earlier than you.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
One last thing on me being right about Baker Mayfield. Just one last thing. As you know, he's been inaccurate. You know what's not inaccurate? This guy. This guy right here. He's been wearing a shoulder harness, but he is not making excuses, Dan. He just said flatly his performance was terrible. He's not blaming that harness that he is wearing on the inaccuracy. He's blaming himself, and you'd love to see it. And yesterday, you know what he did? He took to Instagram. And he released a statement. And it was awesome. People seem to forget how I got here. Nothing was given. Everything earned. Ups and downs. Came out stronger and better every time. God bless me with the mental and physical strength to not only make it through adversity, but to also grow through those trials that nobody else could handle. I'll always be striving to get better, which I will continue to have that mindset. Winning is the priority for me. Always has been, and always will be. That's why I was brought to Cleveland, to change that narrative and impact others along the way. That being said, we have a great group. I have their back, and they have mine. I'm gonna battle for these guys every single week. On to the next challenge.
Through a partially torn labrum. It can't be easy.
And a harness.
I mean, it's only week 5 and you're putting out the 4-paragraph long Instagram story.
After a win.
He is gritty, though. We can agree he's gritty.
To the soundtrack of Glory behind you.
After a cover on the road. You know what they say about great teams? What? Good teams win.
Yeah.
Great teams cover.
Like Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl.
With that one possible exception.
Is that how they say it? That's how they say the whole thing?
Yeah.
Good teams win, great teams cover, except for that one possible exception of the one time Notre Dame covered, then they were not a good team, because the most important thing is always for Mike to be right.
That's the cliche going forward, I believe. That sounds right.
I think that's the way that we should do it.
Tad wordy, but it should be it.
I'm here for you, Mike, to become, I don't know how we do this with the Mike Ryan exclusives, but if you want to be sort of better at the Browns than Ian Rappaport, I think you need to claim that corner. I want to like vigorously, there's no reason that our show can't have its own NFL insiders. You're learning as we break free here that we can cover sports just as well as ESPN, sending our correspondents into the field, whether it's Jessica at a Notre Dame game to tell us how great they are when they're clear and utter fraud, or you going to Cleveland and not having internet, or going to Kansas City and not having internet when reporting on the Browns.
Arrowhead Stadium. Can you believe Sprint was once headquartered in Kansas City? I couldn't. So I have no inside sources inside that Browns organization. I'm basically just an ego-soaked aggregator. Yeah, I'll do it.
I mean,
yeah, no one's better than me.
There's a path.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I can do that too, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ego-soaked aggregators. Let's go. Found it.
You're going to be
Blacksburg.
Meadowlark NFL correspondents. Do you guys?
No, she's got the college football beat. Yeah, yeah. Well, I got the Brownies.
She's got the Steelers, too, though. The one of the big storylines.
Unless they continue to suck, and then she'll pivot to the Bears.
Well, we got Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh.
Oh, but it's not about Ben's still out here being quoted saying that I'm going to be here to the end. And these things don't end well. Like, this is one of the many, many amazing things about Tom Brady. This is the end. We all know it's the end, but Ben has been fighting all his life, overcoming odds, and Ben doesn't think it's the end. Ben thinks that what you just read to us lives in Ben's heart, that I'm going to battle with my guys, and we're a team, and play the symphony music, and he's just too old, and he hasn't taken care of himself, and his body has taken an unholy beating playing through God knows how many partially torn labrums.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I'm so, like, I'm just used to this by now, the last three seasons, that I'm like, oh, maybe he'll play better now because he has a hurt hip.
Jessica, you started 11-0 last season. Like, what do you mean? I don't, this arrived very quickly for me. I know that they were playing an offense last year that was restricted, but you're basically saying the end of Ben Roethlisberger, I thought he was statistically fine until the last 10 games. Jessica, I thought Peyton Manning was statistically fine until his last 10 games, and then he goes 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and he's done. And that's how quickly it happens. It's what's so amazing about Brady is for guys of that age, it happens over like 10 or 12 games where you all know, oh, he's done.
Yeah, Ben, but Ben didn't look, he didn't play great in 2020. He was doing the modified offense, which was get rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. And it worked for the first 11 games. They had some really close games, like the game they won against the Titans and the one against the Ravens midway through the season last year could have easily been losses. Like, it wasn't,
but
like
you were playing the best teams in the league. They're the
right,
best. They were
but
the
they
cream
weren't
of
dominating
the,
every game.
No, but you were the cream of the conference. You were 11-0, and Ben Roethlisberger was statistically fine. He was, they were hiding him some, and now the entire league is doing these two-second throws, and he looks old because Patrick Mahomes is making all of those throws a million times better and better than anyone in the league in 2.5 seconds. Stugatz, one of the things that I find fascinating about quarterback play and football's growth is that these 2.5-second passes, because the aliens are coming off the edge at you, it's basically all you got to do is on your first read, know that your first read of the scheme is open because his hips have moved a certain way and you can just tell looking at him, oh, that corner's not going to be able to get to the spot. I'm going to throw it 9 yards downfield. All of that is happening so fast and so precisely that it makes sense that now Mahomes is better at that than everyone too, because he's better at all the stuff than everyone is. But Ben, that's where Ben gets eaten. In survival of the fittest, that right there is when is where the dinosaur Ben Roethlisberger dies.
I think you can like argue about his arm strength now all you want. Like, he has a surgically repaired elbow, so yeah, he doesn't have the same arm strength. But what has hampered him the last two seasons is that he's scared to hold on to the ball because he's going to get hit, and he knows he doesn't have as many hits left in him. Like, he's getting rid of the ball so he doesn't get clobbered by, you know, Myles Garrett.
But he's never played like that, Jessica.
I know. That's the problem, though.
Guys like, well, not necessarily Myles Garrett, but pass rushers used to bounce off of Big Ben.
Yes.
He was, like, the hardest guy in the league to sack.
But that's the thing that's missing.
Mike, but look at what you just did with the Mayfield thing. Ben has been playing with the symphony behind him. I'm going to grit my way through everything. And here's Baker Mayfield starting down this same path saying, I'm playing with a partially torn labrum.
Well, he didn't say it. We had to dig and drag it out of him because that's a natural born leader Baker Mayfield is. He doesn't make excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Others make it for him.
Roethlisberger just got chewed up by the machine.
All right. Well, Roethlisberger also gave a quote, Dan. He also looked at himself in the mirror. I have it for you if you'd
like.
Oh,
let's do that, please. Yes, there were two mirror looks. Oh, no.
I think it's going to test us all. We all need a look in the mirror and figure out what we want the path to be.
What's with our music library? I'm very frustrated.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
I'm very frustrated.
A little sound from Big Ben. I mean,
Sugat, Mike and I have been talking all week. I want to bring the club back. I want the week to end with the club. I've wanted to pay to just get Debbie Deb in here to perform it for us and see what we can sign up so we can just have this song.
That won't cost a lot.
And not have any more music library. We've got a big music library, right? We can go to 100,000 songs or something like that, but it doesn't feel the same to not have the club, but it also doesn't feel the same to have some diluted version of the club.
She's 55. She's from North Miami. I mean, perhaps we should explore that. I mean, what is Debbie Deb doing?
Perhaps. Well, no, I think she's doing some of those 80s tours. Somebody explain this to me. I think this month Scott Stapp is coming to live. I don't even understand what's happening.
Yeah, he's playing the pool. They've made fun decisions with their pool.
So Creed, the front man for Creed is just doing the live pool, the Fountain Blue pool. And it's tell me more, Mike. I think people might be interested.
Well, there's
in this.
A lot of people, obviously, because it says live think it's like Live on Sunday, and how does Scott Sapp match that? But they hire a bunch of like weird acts to play specific to the pool. That's why you get Scott Sapp.
That's pretty Vegas, and I don't suppose that'll grow with the gambling money coming to Florida.
Oh, plenty. You saw, I think Air Supply is playing Magic City Casino. I'm in on that.
Oh my God.
When?
That is awesome.
Did Witty and I ever tell you about the time that we saw Smash Mouth and it turned into a riot?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes, you did.
An all-time anecdote.
Yeah. But now Witty's a part of the team, so he could actually speak for it. My wife, Witty, and I went to Magic City Casino to see Fastball.
I love that place, Mike. I love how out of the 80s, dirty, awful, wonderful.
I got my ticket at an actual box office.
Yeah. You should try the Seminole,
box office.
You should try the Seminole Coconut Creek on for size. I mean, wow.
I didn't find it sad, though. You find it sad? I find it, like, just from another time, wonderful. Like, yes, it's obviously the smoke and the old people at the slots, that's not great. Yeah. And the venue outside is small, podunk, 3,000, 4,000 people. Not very many people.
I used to go there when it was Flagler Dog Track, and it was a WWE blast area, which is where a large group of people would watch one screen of a pay-per-view. I saw Edge defeat John Cena in the Elimination Chamber after he cashed in the very first Money in the Bank at New Year's Revolution there. Ha! Scenes, Dan. Absolute scenes, as you can imagine. But we went there as after it got rebranded to Magic City Casino, and they were doing Spin Doctors, Fastball, Smash Mouth, forgetting another terrible band.
I think it was Uncle Cracker performed.
Uncle Cracker. Wow. How could I forget you, Uncle Cracker? We went there, and it was all the cheesy nostalgia that you would imagine it would be. And the main headliner was Smash Mouth, who, by the way, T's and P's over to the front person. Smash Mouth played a couple of gigs and had a different singer and didn't really address why. And it was a whole big mystery, but apparently a heart condition. So we got down to the bottom of the case.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So we go see Smash Mouth. We don't necessarily hear Smash Mouth. We heard one song, Smash Mouth. And then the singer Smash Mouth belts through two songs with his microphone off. The entire crowd's like, we can't hear you.
And he's like jamming out. He's
rocking out.
In his mind, he is crushing
now. It's 1998 all over again. Like, he is top of the chart.
He can hear himself in his earpieces. He's got like double earpieces on. And so the band can hear themselves, but no one in the crowd will all just stare at him going, what's happening?
No, I know Mike's sense of humor here, though, but he also is a snob about music. At what point are you laughing, Mike? Because the entire crowd is saying...
Oh, I was laughing the entire time. And while I can be a snob about music, I love so many guilty pleasures, and Smash Mouth reminds me of a time, and I was having a hell of a time, but I thought I wanted to see Smash Mouth perform, and this was way better, because he goes through an entire song, 3.5 minute eternity of belting one out, and you can't hear him. And no one on the stage knows that this is the case. So surely someone would get to them during the break from one song to the next.
How is the crowd response not obvious?
The crowd is just like
we don't hear you.
They keep pointing to their ears, but I guess he's looking at them and they're motioning to like give us more. Yeah. Like instead of pointing to their ears, he thinks he's doing a great job.
No, but those are two very things. Rocking out to music and pointing to your head, while mouthing, we can't hear you.
I always try to help.
He thought they were singing?
Yeah, they start another song. They start another song. And then in the middle, they realize, oh, sorry, technical difficulties. It didn't seem like there was a solution. So Smash Mouth leaves the stage for a little bit. And, you know, doesn't really seem hopeful that they're going to fix this problem because they were working on it for a while, Chris.
Yeah.
And then Smash Mouth goes to the stage and he kind of says, everybody huddle up. So everyone goes closer to the stage.
Yeah. The venue probably sat like 10,000 people, but there was like 3,100 there. So there's a bunch of empty seats. Like, just don't sit where you were assigned. Just come closer to the stage. I guess then we'll be able to hear him, I suppose.
Because you'll just hear my voice. The mics don't work.
Just shout, I'm a believer at me.
So he actually says, don't worry. Like, we wanted to have a good time, but if everyone gets close, closer. We can power through a couple songs. Yeah, we'll play All-Star and the song from Shrek. Don't worry. Which is, I'm a believer. He says it just like the song from Shrek. And everyone is just yelling, play all. I felt so bad because from the second Smash Mouth went on the stage, they're like, play All-Star. And he's like, we hear you. We will play All-Star. So
first we have to play Walking on the Sun.
Yeah, which I was like, yes. Because I'm not like these posers. I'm never walking on the sun. So he invites everybody onto the stage. Witty, my wife and I, we were careful.
Yeah.
We're not going to hop on the stage at Magic City Casino. Number one, I'm not sure the structural integrity of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Of the casino, not
yeah.
the stage.
Yeah, the fair concern, yes. And
you know how they say, like, if a bunch of people walk off a hill, would you follow them? This was one of those times that I'm like, I'll only follow Smash Mouth so far. To the front of the stage, not on the stage, which turned out to be a good decision.
Well, because of the foreshadowed Dan. Riot?
What happened was basically Woodstock 99. Number one, Walking on the Sun, absolutely banged.
Yes.
They sure as shit played the song from Shrek. And then, All-Star. Dan, bodies everywhere. Appendages everywhere. All of a sudden, hijinks in a corner. I'm not really sure what I see out the corner of my eye. Security. Bum-rushing individuals because after they tore the house down with the song from Shrek, security said, we can't have all these people on the stage.
Yeah.
And rather, and this was the guy from Smash Mouth doing his best, Fred Durst, inciting a riot, he didn't calm it down. I mean, he invited everybody up there. He didn't run this past Magic City Casino. So Magic City Casino starts taking business into their own hands.
Oh, my God.
Guy got arrested.
I saw a guy get arrested and thrown up against the hood of a car, like an old 80s cop show.
Really?
Like, it was scary there for a while.
Like the Rolling Stones at Altamont. What the hell?
Yeah, the Hell's Angels, Angels had their way, apparently. And I was just thinking about the guy that I saw get his face slammed into the hood of a car and thrown into the back of a vehicle, having to tell other prisoners what he's in for.
That's not going to go over well.
I rushed the stage at Smash Mouth.
And you know what the prisoners would probably turn to him and say? Did they play All-Star? Bet your ass they did.
At one point during the technical difficulties, a chant went through the stadium. All-Star! All-Star! Yes, of course. All-Star! All-Star!
What a magical, magical day for you guys.
It was incredible.
When is Air Supply? I mean,
I got to get out there. Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Is it ever a good thing? Is it ever a good thing when Magic City Casino takes matters into its own hands?
I actually have the events calendar up here. A big back-to-back weekend at Magic City Casino. It's Air Supply on the 13th of November, and then Grand Funk Railroad the following weekend. And Mike, I know you like them.
Mike, we could fill that place. We could have a moss
well,
over
to
there.
They
we
need
could
to bring,
fill. We could
no.
fill Magic City Casino. We could bring them the nation to come.
We could. For Air Supply, I'd consider it, but they haven't done Rock 2K since. It's been several years, and I feel like some of the trauma has subsided, and we're just remembering the good times, like when Fastball played the way.
Why don't we make Magic City Casino matter the way we once made Dania High Line matter? Why don't we support...
Well, because if you're good at something, Dan, you never do it for free.
Well, why would we have to do it for free? We have to do it for free or Magic City Casino is going to take matters into its own hands?
I also believe because of our life partners at DraftKings, there might be an exclusivity deal here. So
let's get our sugar daddy to flirt with Magic City Casino to see if we could throw some parties to celebrate Smash Mouth.
What a random request. I just imagine this going up the ladder at DraftKings. Hey, Levitar Show wants to do something with Smash Mouth and Air Supply. What?
But I want to do Sharon
Grand Funk Railroad.
We should do something with Smash Mouth today with the fake singer.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've seen the fake singer just looks like he's wearing a costume of the real singer.
No.
Yeah. Come on,
no,
get out of here.
No.
Yeah, like I don't know if they thought that they could get away with it.
Were people fooled? Were people in the crowd fooled by the Smash Mouth
imposter? Does this occasionally where they play these infamous, I think one time they were thrown, like a bunch of fans just started throwing bread at them at one show at a racetrack in Arizona. I'm going to have to Google this.
Throwing bread at them.
I'm looking at their Twitter account right now, and someone tweeted at them on October 4th and said, "Hey, Smash Mouth, did y'all replace your singer and not say anything?" And at Smash Mouth replied and said, "Nope."
Okay, wait, we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to get investigative reporters. Mike, are you're alleging that Smash Mouth is out here filling racetracks with 3,000 people with a guy wearing a costume of the guy who used to sing All-Star?
Dateline, Fort Collins, Colorado. Smash Mouth's lead vocalist Steve Harwell did not take kindly to pieces of bread being thrown at him Sunday night during the finale of Taste of Fort Collins.
I'm reading a Page Six story about the lead singer replacement, and the second paragraph says, Harwell's rep, Steve Harwell is his name, confirmed to TMZ Tuesday that the All-Star crooner, 54, is on hiatus to deal with a cardiomyopathy. I feel like crooner is a very lofty title for the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Harwell caused quite a stir during the band's performance, first yelling profanities at the crowd, then being subdued by a security guard, and finally walking off the stage ahead of the encore because, you know, they have to play All-Star. He lost his temper at concert attendees when they started throwing slices of bread in the air. A few pieces reportedly landed on the stage. Loaves of bread were being given away for free at the Taste of Fort Collins and their vendor booths. The entire incident lasted about 3 minutes.
I need more information on this guy wearing a costume of...
He's just slightly grayer than Steve Harwell.
I need to hear more. I need to report this. I need to get our investigative team on it. Are they doing imposter work? Are they not? The funny part isn't just that they're doing it. Are they trying to trick people? Because you're not going to know, because it's been 20 years and you don't know what this guy looks like anymore. I think that Smash Mouth was like one of the first music acts who went contrary to all things pandemic, because we got to make our money out here with our lead singer in a costume of the guy who used to be our lead singer. I think Smash Mouth was like first to the music money. We want our freedom, the right to be Smash Mouth and wear disguises. Or you're telling me that their answer was a no. They were asked
initially
about
they tried to deny, but...
So good.
That was 2 days ago. It was October 4th. It's the 7th. Good.
They weren't accounting for journalism being done here. They didn't account for follow-ups.
From TMZ, the band's current singer is someone that the band knows and was substituting for a few shows, but it's not a permanent move. The good news, Steve feels good now and will be back beginning Thursday at the Jackson, Mississippi State Fair.
Oh. They just say it's an unidentified stand-in. I mean,
that's great.
But were they telling
the stand-in
people?
Looks like divorced Guy Fieri.
It's a Canseco situation.
It is a Canseco situation where he's supposed to go to a boxing match and he sends Ozzy, and they're identical twins, but Ozzy has a couple of tattoos. You're telling me, I need some reporting on this. You guys believe the new lead singer was chosen as a guy who looks like the old lead singer and was made to look like the old lead singer.
This is exactly my fear when we come out with a fake Debbie Deb song. I just don't want to look like, I don't want to be a reasonable facsimile. I want to be better than the original thing. And divorced Guy Fieri is not Steve Harwell.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically, I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.